WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Now, Baltimore Positive, it is positively football season around here. Feels like October in the air. We're headed off to Denver for a little Rocky Mountain High. This guy was once a Steeler. We didn't like him much when he was a Steeler. Then we got to know him as a Seahawk and maybe even as a Patriot later. He does sports radio out in Denver and also does broadcast work in a former Colorado Buffalo and one of the dudes I really like in this league. Chad Brown joins us from the Rocky Mountain High to talk all things Broncos. You know, people don't associate you with the Broncos, dude. And I and Stokely is my boy. Nobody associates him with the Broncos, especially not here with the Super Bowl catch and all that. But like, people make a home in Denver. People like Denver, right?
Denver's awesome. You know, when people see Denver nationally on TV, they show the mountains and some massive snowstorm. But in the city itself, it's not so bad. Even when it's a colder weather day, usually there's lots of sunshine to warm you up. So if you're going to be in a city that's got all four seasons, this may be the best one, just because when it does snow, it never sticks around for long.
Dude, as a Boulder guy, you know how much I like Boulder. Like, if I was going to go be somewhere and just chill, I would probably, you know, just go to Boulder. I wouldn't live in Denver. I'd live in Boulder.
It's a college town. So at some point, you know, you grow a little bit past that. Some of us have matured. Other ones of us, like you, just, you know, follow bands around the country and do all that stuff. So Boulder could be your place. I think I've just grown a little bit old to be in a college town at this point.
That's a whole Mork and Mindy thing, I think, here. Dude, the schedule comes out and we see Vegas, Chiefs, we knew that was going to be tough in a big game at home. Then Detroit and Denver, 3 out of 4 on the road to start the season. I would have said the Raiders would have been the toughest of those games, and we lost that game. But I'm starting to believe the Broncos are real. Now, you tell me. There was the competition the last couple weeks hasn't been there, but coming in there to see a 3-0 team, and I've always been a believer in Teddy Bridgewater, this game worries me a little bit for the Ravens.
Well, the Broncos are 3-0, but their first three opponents are 0-9. So, you know, the Jets, the Giants, and the Jags, not exactly the top of the NFL right now. So I think even here in town, folks are not quite buying in. You know, I do a daily radio show here in town, and, you know, we open up to the text line today, and I would say more than half of the people are holding out some judgment. We've got the Ravens this week. We've got Steelers week after that. Then we've got the Raiders, and then we've got Cleveland. So this next 4 weeks is going to be pretty telling for where this Broncos team is. You know, were you able to feast on the bottom of the league? Yeah, you clearly did. You played well. Defense got a shutout last week. Teddy Bridgewater over 75%, 3 games in a row. So there's lots to be excited and happy about. But at the same time, you've got to temper that some of that excitement because you haven't played anybody. This will be the first real game they play. And they're playing Lamar Jackson, who's, what, leading the league in yards per completion and yards per carry. So, I mean, how much more of a dangerous quarterback could the Broncos have than this guy?
All right, put your chin strap back on. Take it back 25 years. And Marvin's in the defensive meeting room with you in Pittsburgh. And you're lining up against this Lamar Jackson kid. Nobody's seen anything like him before. You were badass in your day, dude. How do you prepare for this, especially it's so left-handed from what everybody else does?
I've talked to a number of defensive coordinators around the league, and they talk about, you know, preparing for Tom Brady or preparing for Patrick Mahomes. They say no one is more difficult to prepare for than Lamar Jackson. The skill set that he has is unlike any other quarterback in the NFL. I think, you know, from a pass rush perspective, you would certainly try to get some mush rush going and condense the pocket around him. If you take chances as a pass rusher, you're going to open up a lane and this guy's gone. And hopefully you're not in man coverage where your defensive backs are turned around. He could be gone for 30 or 50 or 80. So the difficulty in defending him is you got to stay with such pass rush lane discipline constantly. And then occasionally I think you got to mix in a spy in there. But chances are, even if you have the most athletic player on your defense as a spy, he's still more athletic than that guy.
I think back in the days of Vic and even Randall Cunningham, Cordell Stewart, Steve Young, anybody that runs, it was never their idea to run. It was always sort of a last resort. Vic may be a little different than that, but in the case of Lamar, it's not part of the game. It is the game. And I have found it to be interesting the last couple of years have they have not had fumbles. I thought just playing hide and seek with the football and running backs not really knowing if they're getting it or not getting it based on what they see and what their keys and their reads are, I thought they would be sloppier than this. It hasn't been. And I also thought, how fast can he be? How shifty can he be? How many ankles can he break? How can he be that much faster, that much shiftier than anybody else? I mean, from the Barry Sanders and to all the running backs that have ever played the game, he's so unique. And watching guys guys like you try to tackle him, it's a different kind of an adventure than anything I've ever seen over the body of work, over 3 years of seeing it week by week.
There's certain just unicorns in the league that I think are almost impossible to prepare for. When I was a New England Patriot and we had to play Randy Moss, he was with the then the Oakland Raiders. Bill Belichick had hit the scout team receivers line up 5 yards past the line of scrimmage so the safeties could get a sense of how quickly Randy Moss was going to be up on them. And it didn't help. Somewhere in that first couple of series of the game, he took us deep for like 80 yards. So even doing that kind of stuff, you know, when teams play Lamar Jackson, they don't have their scout team quarterback or their backup quarterback play quarterback. They have a receiver or their punt returner or somebody who's got the, you know, the shiftiest guy on the team try to replicate Lamar Jackson. And what's the first thing all those defenders say when they get to the sideline? He's faster than we thought he was. He's quicker than what we thought he was. So he's such a unicorn. You can't even replicate that, even grabbing a guy from a different position to try to get a proper look for your defense.
Chad Brown is here. He is out in Denver, no longer wreaking havoc in the Ravens backfield and in retirement doing sports radio out in Denver and talking all things Broncos. So give me a little pick me up on the Broncos at 3-0 here. Are you a believer? Are you sold? I mean, are you sold on Bridgewater?
You don't get a chance to pick your opponent. All you get a chance to do is play to your level. And so far, the Broncos have played to their level. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is better than advertised. Going into the season, we expected Teddy to be safe, you know, very check down oriented. But he's one of the better deep passers in the league here over the first three games. I'm sure he'll slide back as they play better opponents. But so far, Teddy has been the calming force we thought he would be, the steady, consistent force. But he's played better, manipulated the pocket better, threw deeper better, and in some ways has helped a lot of this young offensive talent for the Denver Broncos mature. So he's far exceeded, I think, anyone's expectations for him. And on the defensive side of the ball, they have the most salary cap space devoted to their defense. And Von Miller looks like he's back to what he once was. Justin Simmons is playing a really good brand of football at that safety spot. Malik Reed is feeling well for Bradley Chubb. Got a sack last week. So there's talent all over the defense, maybe the deepest and most talented secondary in all of football. And there's a pass rush as well. So a lot for Ravens to be concerned about. But here, I think they're mainly concerned about how the heck do we slow down Lamar Jackson.
Chad, for you with the Broncos in this transitional period, I mean, I had you on a couple of years ago when Flacco came out there, and that didn't work out. New general manager, Vic Fangio, has been doing this as long back when you were playing. I like Vic a lot. I was worried Vic wasn't going to survive this. I start to think at 3-0 right now with the way Bridgewater and, to your point, Von Miller looks to be back, that they look formidable. They look, and 3-0 teams are like 75% to make the playoffs or whatever. They look like they might be able to get the 9 or 10 wins.
You know, if you look at this division, the AFC West, everyone expected the Chiefs to run away with it. They're in the bottom of the division. The two teams at the top are the Raiders and the Broncos, both undefeated. And the Chargers are playing a pretty good brand of football. So this is going to be a very competitive division. I still think the NFC West is the most competitive division in all of football. But the AFC West is not too far behind. So even if they do get 9 wins or possibly 10 wins, that doesn't guarantee them a win in this division or even maybe even a runner-up in this division. So they've got to find a way to, I think, get to 11 or 12 to really get a commanding lead to guarantee themselves a playoff spot and a division win.
We were all smelling ourselves here in the offseason. You know, we need a wide receiver, we draft one. We need a pass rusher, we bring in Justin Houston. We, you know, we lose Matt Judon, no problem. We'll draft Odafe Oweh. So the replacement part of the offseason was all there. until three running backs go down, until Ronnie Stanley's not ready to play, until Villanueva is clearly not a right guard. And we saw that in week one. He was a turnstile. Then defensively, you lose Marcus Peters. And then last week, the COVID bug hits the entire defensive line. And you know, you need your kicker to kick a 66-yard field goal to not lose to the lowly Lions. I'm not sold that the Ravens are really good. I'm sold on them being resilient. I think they'll win their games, but they're not what they were advertised to be 3 months ago. And I don't think they can be without Marcus Peters, certainly without Ronnie Stanley. Nick Boyle might be coming back, but the Broncos also, yeah, to your point, Chubb, Judy, the guards are banged up this week. The Broncos have had injuries too.
The Broncos had. Now, as far as the Ravens go, they could easily be 3-0 and they could be 0-3. So, you know, the games have been close enough and competitive enough. But here in Denver, talking about the injuries, first it's Jerry Jeudy week one. Then it's Ronald Darby. Luckily for Ronald Darby, or for the replacement for Ronald Darby, Patrick Surtain, the first round pick, ninth pick in the draft from Alabama, has been as advertised. So far the injuries, the two guards you mentioned, they drafted a guard center earlier this year in the draft in Quinn Meinerz, a Division III prospect who's really pretty good. And Moody last year was one of the more stronger players at the combine. So they've got replacements in place right now. But if there's another couple of injuries, it's really going to begin to test their depth. And I don't think they're at a place where they're so talented that they can deal with, you know, another three or four guys missing. And there's just not enough depth on this team to withstand that.
Dude, you're wearing a purple shirt, man. I see you wearing a purple rain there, right? Look at you.
Paisley Park, Prince's musical compound there.
I've never been to Paisley Park. Have you been?
No, but it is on the bucket list for this off season. You know, obviously COVID will have to be a little bit better, but I am looking forward to making a pilgrimage. I'm a huge Prince fan. I've had Prince posters on my wall since I was probably 14 years old. I've got over 200 Prince LPs, purple vinyl, all that kind of stuff. I'm a music nut. I don't travel as much as you do for shows, but if Prince was still around, I probably would be just like you.
Yeah, I miss Prince the last time he played in Baltimore, a couple months before he died. We played on Father's Day. You know, Prince was like Friday afternoon, they announced the show Sunday. They put the tickets on sale. He shows up. That's how Prince did. That's how he rolled,
right,
you know.
Tour,
but
yeah.
I saw him at the Lear. I saw Prince five times in my life, and he played the Super Bowl down in Miami, and the press conference, if you remember, was Super Bowl week. We were in the front row when he had the orange suit and played Johnny B. Goode at the press conference. My wife caught the pick. My wife has Prince's pick from that. So yeah, we're Prince people. Right? Somewhere, you know, now that I found you, I didn't have anybody to bug to fly in to see the Stones last weekend or see the Eagles. I'm sitting on Pearl Jam tickets out in Oakland right now waiting for that tour to happen. So there might be a text in your phone at some point in the future for some sort of meeting somewhere where there's music and people and all that good stuff. How are you holding up during COVID? You doing all right? You staying safe?
I'm doing well. Family has been healthy and happy, so everybody's doing well. But speaking of tickets, I got tickets to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Sorry, I got that back.
Yeah?
He's going to be speaking here in Denver on Sunday.
We're learning the universe.
Yes, but, you know, I may not be able to make that show, so I've probably got to give up those tickets. It's killing me. So as much as I love hearing about space and
you're giving up all that wisdom?
Yes. I want to soak in that wisdom, but I probably won't be able to do it. I've got Oregon at Stanford on Saturday, and I got something to do in San Francisco on Sunday, so I won't be back in time to see Dr. DeGrasse do his thing.
You're calling a lot of Pac-12, huh?
I do a little bit of Pac-12, mainly SEC, but I do some NFL games as well. So it's been a fun couple of years bouncing between the two. And sometimes the contrast is just so striking between the two levels of play. I think college football is more fun, but clearly nothing tops the NFL as far as the elite level of play.
How are your snakes doing?
Snakes are all well. You know, I've got a small collection now. Once upon a time, I had the, you know, reptile breeding business, Pro Exotics Reptiles, produce several thousand baby reptiles a year. Now I've only got about 20 animals, all fun projects. None of them are necessarily like commercial projects. They're just have great interest to me as a reptile dude.
What do you love about reptiles?
The fact that they're, you know, almost prehistoric. I mean, they're an extinction of dinosaurs in some ways. And, you know, snakes don't have any limbs. yet they managed to live life just fine. Some of the habits of some of the lizards are fascinating and interesting and very detailed. And
what's your favorite reptile?
My favorite reptile of all time is a Bolin's python. It's a python from the highlands of New Guinea. New Guinea's, you know, obviously got tremendous mountain ranges. At the top of these mountains, it snows, yet it's still a tropical island. So this snake has evolved to be able to deal with temperatures in the 30 degrees at night, yet they could be 90 degrees in the daytime. So it's got this.
They're cold-blooded, aren't they?
They are cold-blooded. It's got this beautiful iridescent, velvety black, you know, skin coloration. There, if an animal or if a reptile can be majestic, they're very confident in themselves. Sometimes snakes are scared and skittish. These guys know they're badass. They know they're awesome. Therefore, they have such a confident air about them. And because of that, black and yellow markings are almost royal looking, very majestic species of snake.
It'd be better if it was purple. I mean, you get that black and gold in here. I know the way you roll. Chad Brown, once a Steeler, always a Steeler. And hey, how about the Steelers? They're struggling, huh?
I think it could be. I mean, we've known the end is coming for Ben for a couple of years now. But I think we've solidified that. The legs appear to be gone. The arm strength appears to be gone. You know, Najee Harris is a dynamic running back, but not an offensive line to open up holes for them. Wasting a good defense because that offense is not going to be able to take them anywhere.
I love when you talk dirty about the Steelers. I knew I'd get right at the end. It's time to go. I got to go, Chad. Hey, man, we'll see you out in Denver. Take care of yourself. It's always good to visit with you, my brother. And hopefully, you know, Tiesto won't be the last concert we experience together, all right?
I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
You got it. Chad Brown joining us from high on a mountain out in Rocky Mountain High, Denver, Colorado. The Broncos taking on the Ravens at 4 o'clock on Sunday. You can find Chad anywhere the internet is served, as well as his sports radio pursuits out in Denver and his herpetology. I am Nestor. You can find Luke out in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens all week long. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to Nacho Mama's this Friday in Towson, one of my favorite spots. We lost Scunny almost a decade ago. We're going to honor Scunny on Friday and have it. I've never had the Nacho Mama's crab cake, so we're going to do that. We're going to be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, next Friday at Coco's Tavern in Lauraville. So make sure you get that down in your calendar. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Also want to give a shout out to our friends at Wise Markets and our Wise Conversations. I had the $6 signature crab cake a couple weeks ago. Delicious. But it was that special sub that I got, the Bellhaven sub. That was delicious. I have not had my last Bellhaven sub. Get on over to Wise, support them, and round up this month. Take care of all the charities that they do there, and make you buy your groceries online too. You can Wise to go. It's a click away. I did it myself. I'm a veteran. I'm not just talking about it. I actually did it. But I like supermarkets. I like going through the Wise and looking at stuff. That's more my jam. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.